All right, welcome in. It's July 3rd. July 3rd. Almost July 4th.
That's right.
July 3rd, best known as almost being July 4th.
And for us, we're only an hour away from July 4th. I mean, our vacation.
Yeah.
Our one-day vacation.
People might be a little confused. It's Monday.
Yeah, was it 11 p.m.?
You didn't wake up at 11 p.m. That's got to be bad for the 3rd, though, right? The July 3rd, you're only known as being so close to the 4th.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing the 3rd in Western New York is known for, obviously, the Bisons game. But beside that, you are just the day before. And it's not like, I think Christmas Eve is better than Christmas Day, right? All the anticipation.
It's become like its own thing.
Yeah. The 3rd does not have that.
Yeah. You're just...
You're the 3rd.
You're just close enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
We'll do fireworks on the 3rd, whatever.
I mean, especially this year with the 4th on a Tuesday. Today, the people who did have to go to work, it's, why the hell am I working on July 3rd? That's most people
where
in an office right now.
Where is everybody? That's what everybody's saying today.
I missed the memo?
The 3rd also doesn't have the top tier event of July 4th, and that is the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. And joining us live on the line right now is Megabyte Ronnie, a friend of the show because he's been on a couple times to talk about this. Ronnie, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. How's it going, fellas?
It's going well, and you're taking part again, right?
Yeah, I'm back again.
Tell us the road, just so people know. It's not like you can just say, hey, I've been here before, can I come back in? How do you qualify to take part in the hot dog eating contest on Coney Island tomorrow?
Yeah, so every year they have about anywhere from like 12 to 15 qualifiers around the United States. The top man and the top woman from each qualifier go on to eat in the big contest tomorrow on the 4th of July. This year they had less qualifiers than normal. I think they had 7 this year. So what they did is they took the top 7 men and women from each contest, and then they also had 4 wild card spots. So pretty much the highest number eaten in any of these qualifiers got in. And I got in with a qualifying spot at the last qualifier 2 weeks ago in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Ronnie, so these qualifying events – did you have to qualify to qualify, or is this something you simply sign up for, or because of your participation, you get into a qualifying event? How does that work?
So, yeah, anybody can sign up for it. So they're going to take ranked eaters first, but there's always, we call them table enders, people at the end of the table that are locals and stuff like that. But you never know. Some of those table enders will end up being one of the greatest eaters ever. So, people always say, I always hear all the time online, hey, I can eat more than you. And sign your butt up, and we'll see you at a contest.
There you go. So Megabyte Ronnie is taking part once again in the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Competition tomorrow, which I think for a lot of people has become a July 4th tradition. It's almost how you kick off your 4th of July. You click on the TV, and you watch the hot dog eating competition. You go up against some of the best of the best. How do you stack up to some of the best? What is your best, and what would be a good day for you tomorrow?
Well, my best of all time is 29.5 in contest. I've hit 35 in my backyard, but I've never been able to translate it to on contest. This year, I actually had to retire from wrestling due to a back injury, and I wasn't going to do the contest. It was like 5 days before the last qualifier that I took a look at the standings for the wild cards, and I was like, it was at like 18 or something, and I was like, you know what, I can roll out of bed and eat more than 18. So I signed up for that one, and I did 23 at the qualifier. So if I can hit over 25 tomorrow, I'll be pretty happy, considering 3 weeks ago I wasn't going to do this.
So, Ronnie, obviously you have your top number. Do you change up your strategy at all? Is there a new strategy you've been practicing going into tomorrow? How does that work in the world of competitive eating?
I've changed up my strategy throughout the year. So Joey Chestnut does 2 wieners and then 2 buns. So you sort of look at the guy who's doing the best out there, and you're like, I'm going to emulate that. And I used to do that for a long time, and then I switched up to doing one wiener, one bun. And then once I switched to that, my numbers started going up because I just can't chew as fast as that guy. And, you know, as far as this year goes, to be honest with you, like I said, I'm really just happy to be here. So I haven't really changed up too much this year. I just pretty much I have added more flavoring to my water. So that's about the big change up this year.
Well, you're more than just happy to be there, right? Are you still the number 20 ranked eater in Major League Eating?
Yeah, I'm still the number 20 ranked eater. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like I want to go out there and wave to the crowd and just eat a hot dog casually. Like, I'm up there to compete. I'm a competitor. So I'm going to go out there and give it all that I have. I'm just saying that, you know, realistically, I wasn't going to do it 3 weeks ago. So I'm pretty much just going to give it all I got.
Yeah, I'm curious to know what the gap is. So there's Joey Chestnut is mm-hmm. like... I don't know. Is there anything he's comparable to, like in a different sport? Probably not, with just how insane.
The closest thing would be Tiger Woods, when Tiger Woods was really okay. at his peak.
So you have that. Like, what's the difference between Ronnie at number 20 and Joey Chestnut versus Ronnie at number 20 and, let's say, the number 4? Ranked eater or something along those lines. So, like, where is the gap? How far ahead is Joey Chestnut from everybody else?
Well, in hot dogs, Joey Chestnut is untouchable, but I'll tell you this. So it's funny that you brought up number 4. So about a year ago, at a barbecue sandwich eating contest, I finished a quarter of a barbecue sandwich away from the guy who was ranked number 4th. His name is Nick Wary. So I'm a quarter of a barbecue sandwich away from him. And Nick Wary eats about 44 hot dogs, and Joey Chestnut eats about 75. Now, that's just hot dogs. Nick Wary has beaten Joey Chestnut in other types of contests. You know, Joey Chestnut, without a doubt, is the greatest to ever do the sport, and he's by far the greatest that ever do hot dogs, but he's not untouchable in other foods. But as far as hot dogs go, he's about untouchable.
Now, you know, as you said, you're going in it with, you know, the idea, hey, Joey Chestnut, he's the best, but I'm going to give it all I got. What does July 3rd, Brian and I were talking about how July 3rd is kind of a blah day, but this is the day before the big competition. What do you do the day before? I mean, are you eating nothing today? What's today look like for you?
So I like to eat about 24 hours out from a contest. So the contest is at noon tomorrow. So here... probably about once we get off the phone, I'm going to go look around for something to eat. The day before, I don't eat a whole lot. So what I'm probably going to eat is I'm probably going to pick up some watermelon and a little bit of peanut butter or something like that, or some blueberries. Like a fruit and peanut butter is pretty much my go-to. And then, yeah, I'm just going to empty out as much as possible and go into that thing hungry as heck tomorrow.
That's the way to roll out of bed, ready to eat something. You're on the stage. You've got everyone chowing down. Is it ever, like, some people watch this and they go, oh, how can you even watch this and turn it on? Is it, like, a little different? Is there a difference between eating and being able to eat a lot by yourself and eating and being able to eat a lot when you have to look at everyone chowing down right next to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different. I mean, you're on a stage and you're competing. So, that, I mean, there's a time, you're fighting against the time, you're fighting against the eaters to your left and right and stuff like that. You know, the people who aren't able to watch it, that's fine. You know, my mom can't even watch a contest. She'll go to a contest and turn her back to it and listen to it. But, like, I get it. It's not a spectator sport for everybody. But, you know, I'd argue with anybody, it's still a sport.
Can you enjoy a hot dog after being in a hot dog eating contest? Like, tomorrow night, it's the 4th of July. If someone offered you a hot dog with ketchup and mustard, or would you say, I've had enough?
Tomorrow, I'm probably not going to eat a hot dog after the contest. I'm probably going to take a break from hot dogs probably for about a month or two. But I do love hot dogs. They're one of my favorite foods right behind chicken wings. So, yeah, I'll have another hot dog here in a couple months.
You mentioned the barbecue sandwich eating contest, right? And there's all these contests. I remember back in the day, the old Empire Sports Network, they used to go to Fox Sports Net, and there used to be all these random, the sampler platter eating contest was my favorite to watch. Outside of the hot dog eating contest, what would you say is the contest you look the most forward to?
Well, I mean, Wingfest, obviously, because it's in Buffalo. So that one hits close to home. But if we're going to take Wingfest out of there, I like ice cream eating contests. Every couple of years, we get a new sponsor or a new ice cream or something like that. So whenever we get an ice cream eating contest, there's one up in Ohio. It's a pumpkin pie eating contest. Pretty much any time I can eat. Down in Long Island, there's a strawberry shortcake eating contest. Actually, I'm going to stick with that. The strawberry shortcake eating contest, that one's delicious.
What's the easiest thing to eat to put away?
Probably ice cream, but those strawberry shortcakes, they're real soft. They're real moist. They go down real easy.
Yeah, so ice cream, the brain freeze would... That would do me in.
Stop me very quickly.
I would be done for. Well, Ronnie, we're all pulling for you.
Yes.
Tomorrow, as always, and can't wait to see you represent Western New York on the stage. And want to thank you for joining us in short notice here this morning. Appreciate it.
No problem. Appreciate y'all having me on. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Megabyte Ronnie Hartman joining us on the line to talk about being part of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition tomorrow. Joe,
rooting for the upset.
Yeah, it's like one of these crazy things that started as just this sideshow, and now I feel like it's gained traction enough where everyone is at least aware of it. And a lot of people make it a point to tune in.
And this is where sports is now. People are betting on it, Brian. Right? I
mean, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There are odds for...
Joey Chestnut's got to be like a...
Minus 4,000.
Yeah.
$10 wins you $10 and a quarter.
Is it just him and the field? You get to take anybody against him? I mean, that's how it probably should be.
So it's the top four eaters and then the field. Because I was looking for Ronnie's odds. But it's the top four. He mentioned Nick Weary. He's plus 2,000. So if you bet 10, you'll win $210. And then the field is plus 3,000.
I guess people will bet on anything. Are you a person who can sit down and watch the hot dog eating competition? 803-0930, yes or no? And... if you're in that mood, maybe it's the 4th of July, maybe there's some other holiday. What do you think is the food that you could put away the most of?
Ooh.
If you had to pick one, you had to enter an eating competition of some sort. You had to be across the table on the same stage as Joey Chestnut. What food are you going to be able to best put up a fight with? 803-0930 to let us know this morning.
All right, Brian. What do you have in mind?
I really don't know. I don't know like what it is that I would be able to chow down the most on. Like I'm trying to think like in my life, things that I've eaten the most of. I would like to think chicken wings might be it. Here's my big problem with chicken wings. I'm not a speed eater with the chicken wings. I never have been. I like drums. I can eat drums. People say the flats are faster to eat and easier to eat. I've never agreed with that. I eat drums like way faster.
I got you.
And I'm slow at eating all of them. I clean the bone. And that's another one of my problems. I can never do a competitive thing because they don't clean the bone the way I clean the bone.
No.
But like I do think that's a food that I...
could eat the most of.
I could house a lot of it.
Yes.
Wings, pizza. Pizza. I have done a good job of saying, all right, when I start to feel full, I've done my share here. I can do this. I'll step away. Pizza, though, I can just house. Like, if it's a good slice of pizza, it has to be good pizza.
Yeah.
And then tacos. I think I could do tacos.
Tacos,
beef tacos,
pizza. I can eat until I'm sick. Chicken wings, definitely. But I would think the most I can eat of, and I'm sure this might not even be a category. But I would think away from fried foods, right? As much as I would love to participate in the sampler platter,
fried foods will weigh you down too, right?
Yes,
like, that's the thing.
Like the sampler platter, that's a fun one to watch. But the chips are fried, the boneless wings are fried. I think that's like a one and done. Can we do a competitive eating contest with pounds of ground beef? Because I really think I could compete in that. Just pounds of ground beef.
That's I mean, that's tacos. Like, that's kind of my thinking with tacos. Just like ground beef out of just browned ground beef.
I think I could eat that. I think that would take me the longest to get sick.
Yeah.
And I could probably eat the most.
I can eat, considering that I used to just make a pound of it.
Yeah.
And that was just dinner. And it was not a struggle. Like, no. It was not a struggle to eat a pound of ground beef. But like, does it matter though? Here's the thing. Like I said, tacos, like that's the same thing. Is it the same thing? Or like if a burger, like technically it's the same. You have to eat the bun.
You have to eat the bun.
Two.
The buns weigh you down.
Yeah, but like every eating competition, you're going to have like, it's not just going to be one ingredient.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You're not just going to get away with the ground beef eating. They roll out the cauldron.
I think, well, and here's why hot dogs are perfect. Because a burger, Brian, a burger can be very easy to take down. Or if someone forgot it was on the grill, it could be very difficult to take down. So the consistency of, yes, I need medium rare to be able to eat most more burgers. So I probably would vote to go tacos if I had it.
You can maybe say that about a hot dog too, though. You know, all hot dogs are quote-unquote pre-cooked. But if they're not left on the grill for long enough, the casing's a little tougher to bite through and chew, right? I think it doesn't taste as good unless it's really cooked and warm. And by the time you're at the end of your plate at this hot dog eating competition, and those hot dogs have been sitting out there for a little while.
Yeah.
They're not, like, hot.
No, they've been on the tables during all the introductions.
Yeah. So by the end, it's, you're not getting all that great.
I was very interested by Ronnie saying that he puts flavoring in his water, and I saw on his Facebook page where he was putting the picture of the flavoring he uses. That surprised me, because I used to flavor my water with those things. I noticed it gave me heartburn, and I can't imagine that helping you along the way with a little bit of that flavoring.
It's to break up the taste. Like, that's one of the biggest problems they run. So, like, picture yourself eating a dozen hot dogs.
With no condiment.
That taste and flavor is just going to... So that is, he says, that's what all the eaters do. It's not water, usually. It's, you know, something flavored to just have a little bit of a change up to make sure you don't get sick.
And I guess if you're a competitive eater,
heartburn is not.
You can deal with heartburn. Yeah.
you don't really have that issue.
What, he lost the barbecue sandwich by half a sandwich. I'm guessing he can deal with heartburn.
Yeah, that's not something I could do. I don't get heartburn. If I eat a lot of barbecue, especially like barbecue sauce. I can eat barbecue and, you know, dry rub and stuff like that. A lot of barbecue sauce will put me out.
Yeah,
and I like to add a lot of hot sauce to it too, so that'll put me out. Cake, I think I could do cake.
With frosting?
Sure. You would have to have frosting.
I had a sliver of that cake we had here with Randy, and I felt full after a sliver of the cake because of the frosting.
I mean, it couldn't be like a pound cake, like the densest cake in the world,
right?
But just like a regular birthday cake. I mean, I think I could sit. You know, we had a birthday cake in my fridge right now, and I have to stop myself from, like, touching it even. Because if I start, I could eat an entire cake in one sitting.
You'd be like Elaine with the cake in Peterman's office.
Yeah. I mean, it would just keep on going. I would not be able to put it down.
But in one sitting, could you eat an entire sheet cake? If the competition was, who can eat this Wegmans sheet cake?
Yeah.
Split. It's half-half, half chocolate, half vanilla.
Yeah.
You could down it?
I think easily. Couldn't you? A sheet cake, it's only one tier high.
Yeah, but the frosting, I think, would weigh me down halfway through. I really
How much of the frosting do you have to... All the little curls on the edge?
It's a cake. No specialty. It's a cake.
Yeah, I could do that.
I, the frosting's what scares me.
I'm not going to try it. But I think I could do it.
I would put the cake. I could do the cake more than I think I could do the ice cream. Because, like you said, I would be down for the count very quickly.
I love ice cream. Yeah. I could keep eating it, but it's not going to happen in a record amount of time because I will...
I'm not a slow eater, but ice cream is the one thing I do eat slow.
Oh. Well, you have to. Brain freeze. Just, woof, it's enough. All right. What's the one thing? I mean, can you watch it? Do you do that? on the 4th? Do you have another 4th tradition that you want to share with us? And if you did enter the eating competition, what would be on your plate? Let us know. 803-0930, BMAS and Beamer on WBEN.
Well, Brian, it has finally happened. I got to bring this up before we go back to talk about how much can we eat. We finally have an FAA-approved flying car. And they are taking pre-orders.
Really?
This car can fly over obstacles. It is fully electric.
I would hope so.
It is.
This car, hey, a flying car, you know what? It runs right through obstacles.
It can get 200, it can be driven 200 miles on public roads and can fly.
What is it, a helicopter?
It looks like a drone type thing, but it can drive on the road. And it can fly 200 miles driven, 110 miles flying on a charge.
So it's got like a bunch of little blades
on each side. Yeah, those little propeller things.
Okay, so it's a helicopter, self-driving.
Not self-driving. You have to be able to drive this thing.
You're gonna need a little bit more than just your driver's license.
That is, see, I was
at least the enhanced.
I was looking through this article. And it doesn't say anything about what license will be required. Because, again,
pilot's license.
It's being sold as a car.
Yeah, that's not a car. I know what a car is. They're out there in the parking lot. Four wheels, they're on the road.
Well, this would also be in the parking lot. But because of the blades.
Like, you need a special license to ride a motorcycle.
Yes.
Which is way closer to a car than whatever this thing is.
It's a good point. It's a good point, but this is a car that will drive.
The whole idea of a flying car, that's pretty much like that's not happening, right?
It's happening right here.
But that's not a flying car. That's a helicopter.
That can drive. Helicopters can't drive. You can land this thing on the road and drive it 200 miles.
So it's a helicopter with wheels.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not a flying car.
That's what they're calling it, the Model A flying car.
This idea of like a flying car is just not, it seems so stupid.
Whatever was the idea of a flying car?
I mean, that you'd have air highway, I don't know. Don't know what the idea was with a flying
car.
We're
not getting to the Jetsons, no. But for $300,000, you could have a car that can fly over obstacles.
Yeah, like what, I mean, what's the, how high does this car go?
So that it can go as high, like you see the picture, it's halfway on city skyscrapers. So, I mean, it can't go much higher than that.
Oh, perfect.
It goes high enough.
You fly right in the side of a building.
It goes high enough. If you're stuck, like on transit with the construction, you can fly over the construction and get back on the road at the other end.
So that's the idea. So I was in that back up on the 290 last week.
Yes.
I just, whoop, I turn on my propellers.
And you lift up.
Well, I'm sure all the other cars around me in that traffic jam would be totally cool with me just...
Well, that's why I wouldn't land right away, right? I don't want someone to be able to see. I would go a little further so no one could approach me for jumping the obstacle that they had to wait behind.
Yeah, well, I would just land where I was going to land in the first place.
I think once you take... I
where
think
I was
that's
driving to.
What most people would do. Once they take off...
Once
the whole
I'm in the air...
The whole idea is I'm going to avoid the obstacle, get back on the road. Once you're in the air, I'll just get there.
I mean, all right, but like flying car is not going to happen.
No.
The idea of, like, just picture that, the idea of flying cars. They would all be flying into each other. Like, there's no air roads, right? So you're all just kind of flying around. And if you're not a plane and you're not, you know, air traffic control and you're not a pilot and you're just some guy behind the wheel of something whizzing through the air, like they're all just going to crash.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to need to be more restriction on this if this thing takes off. Get it?
Yeah.
I think. But
here's the restriction. Don't do it.
The point is the FAA has approved this vehicle to be sold. Again, the whole point is that it can fly forward and above obstacles until a desired destination is reached.
Would they approve it to be sold? Like, if you could make one, you could do it right now, and I could lift off. Are you sure?
It's been given special airworthiness certification from the Federal Aviation Administration, meaning the company will be allowed to road air test the car and start pre-orders.
Okay, you'll be allowed to test it. But if you bought one and then just started flying, that's a no-no.
No, but you can pre-order one because this is the first vehicle to get that kind of certification from the FAA.
Okay. But the whole flying car thing, that's never going to happen.
Never going to happen. But I do think it's amazing that we are to the point now where the FAA is saying, yeah, try this out. Let's see what happens.
Is that the dumbest idea of like what the future would look like that people had back in the day? Like the flying car was, I feel like that was 1A. That was the thing everyone was, oh, we'll have flying cars. I don't know why everybody said that, but.
I think the idea that we were going to use nuclear energy to melt snow off the roads instantly ranks up there.
But we do use nuclear energy for energy. So that's not like a totally outlandish thing.
No.
What's that from?
That's from one of these, you know, 1950s videos that you find on YouTube. There's another one that, you know, cars will just lay down road and that we won't need, you know, that road will just come out and it'll be ready to go.
I like that. That's a good one. That's like when you go hiking, leave it as you found it. Just, you know, spritzing over potholes as you go past them.
But, you know, looking back now, and I guess it's not dumb, but looking back, it's funny that they thought technology now would be advanced, but that we would still be using huge dials and buttons. That, like, we wouldn't find a smaller way of doing things.
Yeah, like the touchscreen was just not ever conceived.
No.
Everything was like a button or a dial. That's why I always wondered when they did, like, the new Star Wars movies. Like how it would look because, you know, it was like all this futuristic stuff, right? You know, you're flying a spaceship, but all the stuff was run off of like little orange buttons and stuff that looked like it was from the 80s.
Right.
And so they kind of kept that with the new Star Wars. I thought
that was
funny.
Consistency.
You needed consistency, even though the whole idea was pretty stupid.
Right. I mean, you look back to the future, 2015. Yeah, in 1985, that seemed like futuristic. But you look at it now, like, we were so much ahead of... No, we didn't have the flying cars or the time machines. But the graphics and stuff, we were ahead of what they thought would be futuristic.
Yeah, the thing... We have things that were never conceived of and a lot of things that just fell flat. Like a... The idea of, like, transporting, you know, like the beam me up Scotty type thing.
Yeah.
That's a little far-fetched?
That's far-fetched. Time travel is far-fetched. I think there was a time where people honestly believed that technology would, no, that would never happen.
Yeah.
I'd love to. I'd love to go be able to go back in time and witness things, but.
Like, what were their big thing? Like, an oven that would instantly cook? Like, we do have the Instapot.
Yes.
And a microwave.
It's bankrupt, but yes, we do have.
That's not. Well, I mean, you can only sell so many. And then someone else makes the same thing. It's not like it's the, you know, it's a pressure cooker. Like, come on.
Yeah.
They've been around for forever. Eventually, someone's going to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of ideas.
Buy one for $30.
I watched a video of, you know, what they said kitchens in 2001 would look like. Kitchens in 2001. They thought that we were going to have our refrigerators in the cabinets. And everything in the refrigerator would be displayed. I mean, you look back, there's some ridiculous things. Again, you watch something, grocery stores of the future, and it's still people typing in the prices. Like, until it was invented, the idea of the UPC barcode, you know what I mean, was just never even thought of.
The self-driving car, though, they got right.
Yeah, a lot of incidents. I would never trust a self-driving car.
Why?
I mean, this is coming from me, which I probably should.
Yeah, over you? I would give me the computer. You don't even need to test it.
But I like being, this is why I like doing road trips more than flying. I like being the one in control. I know what I see, right? I don't have to question what someone sees or doesn't see. I know what I see. So I when it comes to driving, I've always wanted to, I always like being in the driver's seat.
The self-driving car, they got, you know. Right. We don't have a cure for the common cold, which I'm sure was like a big thing. Like the Tesla coil isn't zapping electricity from point A to point B.
No.
For our electric needs. We've still got the power lines and stuff. At least we thought to put them underground so they're not getting knocked down by the trees every time the storm goes in a new neighborhood. But there's a few things. The self-driving car is probably like the one... automation of a lot of things, right? Like the self-checkout is in that vein. The fancy shopping cart or scanning your stuff as you go and then just walking out the store, that seems like something that they would have thought of in the 50s and 60s as a futuristic idea that panned out. We had that.
By the way, they are really pushing that when you walk into Wegmans on Alberta now. Like, hey, you sure you don't want to try this?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yes, please don't talk to me. Like a video call.
Yes.
The FaceTime.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the prediction everyone had of like how a phone call would be made in the future. You would have a video message. And
it's possible.
That's what you do all the time now.
It's possible. Still, I do not like the video call because it always breaks up. Like if I'm not on my Wi-Fi, you know what I mean? Like it's in and out, it's freezing up. But you're right.
A ton of people use it though.
Oh, very popular.
Like exclusively.
I mean, you can now, if you're calling someone like me, you're calling someone and say, I don't know how to work this TV or work this computer. You can now actually show them on a video, right? They can show you what the problem is and you can talk them through. I think more people are doing FaceTime calls than regular phone calls on a given day.
They probably thought we'd be on Mars.
Yeah, I mean, we do have...
Whoops.
We do have celebrities on fake Mars doing a reality show. So that's close.
The robots doing... They're scientists.
No, Fox did a show of celebrities.
Oh, Fox is doing a show? I thought you were talking about the NASA thing.
No. Hosted by William Shatner about people in a fake Mars... It's called Life on Mars, yeah.
No, they should do that at the same time as NASA. I want to see the difference. I want to see the scientists at NASA do the fake Mars for a year. And then simultaneously, I want reality stars doing fake Mars for a year. And then you can watch both of them at the same time to see how they're doing.
So stars on
Who
Mars...
Who cracks first?
Stars on Mars are celebrities doing competitions that are supposed to be like they're on Mars. And it's hosted by Shatner.
The giant air cruise, right? Like the huge airplane with like swimming pools and everything inside, like you were just going to cruise around the skies. That didn't happen.
That didn't. They had something similar to that, but that kind of didn't get off the ground after the incident of the ship that I'm forgetting the name of right now. The big blimp incident that happened in New Jersey. The Hindenburg, right? That was what they were going to build that idea off of that. Like the base was supposed to be like a cruise type thing.
Oh, that was the
beginning of it.
The one I'm looking at is like, it's like a giant, it looks like an Airbus times a million.
Yeah. I mean, I think they thought they were just going to be able to fly heavier and heavier things. And I think we're at the limit.
Yeah. Hasn't really done it that way. It's like a plane. It's got double decker wings, a million engines. I mean, it looks like the Titanic in the sky. And you could take a cross-continental flight and enjoy a swim while you're doing it. Which, I don't know. It seems like the way that we have it now is probably the way it's going to go.
Yeah, get me there as quickly as possible.
Computers in the classroom, though, like they've got that. I'm looking at a VR headset made by NASA in 1989. Pretty much looks like what they came up with today. And then robots helping you out in day-to-day life. I mean, people don't have like the full Jetsons robot butler, but you've got a robot vacuum.
That's right. And again, think about that robot. Like, that now would look so old, right? It's clunky. It's big. You know what I mean? Like, that robot from the Jetsons would look so outdated in 2023.
Maybe. If it did everything it did, though.
That's true. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, also, like, in our lifetime, there's been predictions of the future that just didn't pan out, right? I mean, remember, we were supposed to have classrooms that were going to be taught by... holograms. We don't have that. There's still humans in the classroom.
I mean...
We did teach on Zoom for a year, yes.
Yeah.
But...
They did that whole thing.
It's not a hologram.
It's basically the same thing.
You know, the only hologram teacher I know of is the one on Xenon. Her teacher was a hologram.
On what you can eat the most of, if you had to enter in your own July 4th eating competition, But you could pick what the food was. What could you have the most of? People were weighing in on that on our text board. Somebody said Alaskan crab legs. Somebody else said sushi. So seafood. I'm not a seafood person, just period. But sushi does not seem like the type of thing you'd want to eat a humongous amount of raw fish. I don't think that would sit well.
I would say a sushi roll, no. But just the fish, I think you could get a lot down. That is something that it takes a lot to fill you up. Like, I could probably, I'm glad the texter said this, Brian. I could probably down a bunch of shrimp more than anything else because it takes a lot of just shrimp by itself to feel full.
But are you thinking about, like, just, like, picking on a shrimp? Like, you have one shrimp every 5 minutes? Like, the way you would maybe eat it at a party or something?
I mean, that's how, yes, but I think I could probably down a ton of shrimp. It's not a very filling.
What if you had a limited amount of time?
I think I could do that better than ground beef.
Hmm. Interesting.
You give me, like, the jumbo. Now, they're going to give them to me with the tail already off, right? I think I could.
Don't give you the chicken wing with, you know, shredded off the bone.
You make a good argument. I think shrimp, any kind of seafood, I think you can get down a ton of because it's not filling.
I just wouldn't know about that. Not
you don't like
me.
Sushi?
No. I don't need any seafood. Sushi would be probably the last thing.
Place across the street has really good sushi.
On the list. The gas station?
No, down a little long, in front of the gym.
Like, wow, you're more adventurous than I thought. No, that would be fair. I think the ground beef I could do a cake. Probably those two over pizza, but pizza and wings, I could put up a fight.
You know, Megabyte Ronnie is one of his best showings with a chili eating contest. How would you do with that?
Probably not great.
No.
Not great.
Again, I think he has heartburn probably covered.
Yeah, chili, I've never been a big chili person.
If it's a chili eating contest, are you drinking the chili?
You'd probably have to.
Right? Yeah. There's no spoon.
Unless they force you to use the spoon. I don't know what the rules are of these things, but if they forced you to use a spoon.
You can't drink it.
You'd have to be quick with the spoon.
Yeah.
Quick draw.
You have to use a plastic spoon?
Just melting. You go through them all, like time and time again. If you ate pizza, if it was a pizza, would it thin crust, square pieces? What's the best way to get it all down?
I'd say square pieces, because thin crust is going to be a huge slice.
Yeah, you roll it up.
That's true. I'm going to go square. Give me a party style pizza.
With the square pieces?
Yeah, party sheet style pizza.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest way to do it. And then all drums for the wings. That's what I can eat the quickest.
But they don't do that, the contest, right?
I think you just get what you get.
Yeah, I don't understand people saying the flats because you have two bones to worry about. I think the drums are the easiest to pick clean.
Joe, that's why we'll never understand the eaters. So we'll never be on their level.
Well, they know something we don't know.
I know. We will not be back here tomorrow.
No, enjoy the day off.
Happy 4th of July to everybody. Happy Independence Day.
Brian and I will be doing fireworks.
No.
Launching our own here in the Odyssey parking lot.
Yeah. But you do have David and Tom still to come today, and we'll be back on Wednesday morning, bright and early on WBEN.